I want to look at Daniel chapter 2. We're going to talk about this morning. We're just going through the book of Daniel, and we're looking at what happened in Daniel's life, because what you're going to find is that Daniel went through a series, he and his three friends, Daniel in particular, they went through a series of 8 tests. And one of the things that we've learned is that God always tests us before he blesses us. Before God promotes me, God is going to pressure me. God's going to see how I handle pressure. God's going to see how I handle being tested. Will I turn from him? Will he lose me? Because I will stray away and I'll get involved in other things when I come under pressure or cop an attitude or turn my heart away from him. God wants to bless you. God wants to do you good. That is what we are all about. We believe here on the hill that this is a place where people come to life. Because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, I have come that you might have what? Life, and that you might be miserable. Is that what he said? No. We can do that on our own, right? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The Lord wants us to have an abundant life in him. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have challenges. Doesn't mean life is not going to happen to me, just like it happens to other people. I am a child of God. I am born again. I'm going to heaven when I die, but I live in a broken world. I am a broken man. The Spirit of God indwells in me. He lives inside of my heart. He has changed me from the inside out. I am a broken man. My mind is broken. I'm not insane, but my mind is broken. I say things I shouldn't say. I feel things I shouldn't feel. I do things that I should not do. And the way I keep going is by the grace of God and the forgiveness of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ that's been shed on Calvary's cross. And that's the kind of people that you and I are living in the world that we live in. We live in a broken, broken world. And so God says, I want to do you well. But you are broken in this present body. And before I can promote you, I want to see that you have grown in my spirit and that you're more spirit controlled than you are flesh controlled so that I can trust you. Before I promote you, I have to be able to trust you. And so God puts us through tests. And that's what he did in the life of Daniel. Now, verse 10 and in verse 11, I'm going to read again, still reading from the New Living Translation, Daniel 2, 10 and 11. The astrologers replied to the king, no one on earth can tell the king his dream. No king, however great and powerful, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, enchanter, or astrologer. The king's demand is impossible. No one except the gods can tell you your dream. And they do not live here among the people. So what we're talking about is getting into situations like this, that these astrologers and that Daniel and his friends are in. And that is when life throws something at you and you, on your own, you just don't know what to do. Daniel and his friends in Daniel chapter 2 are up to their knees, eyeballs, whatever you want to say, in the midst of a crisis. Their lives are literally on the line. And the king has asked of them something that is absolutely impossible as far as a human being is concerned. Tell me what my dream was. Tell me what I dreamed last night. And I'm going to tell you what I dreamed, but you tell me what I dreamed. That's an impossible situation. Would you agree with that? And perhaps there'll be times that you and I have impossible things happen to us, whether it's a parent or maybe your boss or a friend. They ask you to do something for them. And even though you want to do it inside your mind, you're thinking, I can't do that. There's no way. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. I don't know where I'm going to come up with the money for that. I don't know where I'm going to come up with the time for that. I feel like I have the talent with that. The point is, every one of us at some time or another have had an impossible day. Maybe you're in an impossible day, an impossible situation staring you in the face, an impossible expectation that's been put on you. And it's like, this is crazy. How in the world am I supposed to do that? And so Daniel is facing that kind of situation where he gets into an impossible situation. It's a test that God has permitted. And I get into those situations, and you get into those where you feel like it's absolutely impossible. You don't know how you're going to deal with this. And what God is doing is God is watching to see what you're going to do. Now, you remember, the king is frustrated because he can't remember his dream. I think more than anything, he threw this on them because, first of all, he couldn't remember it. It troubled him. You ever had a dream, and you know you dream, but you can't remember what it was? I do that. I tell Catherine, boy, I'm dreaming last night. You know, it just woke me up, kept me up, and everything. She said, "What are you dreaming?" I'm like, I can't remember what I dreamed. I just know it wasn't good and it kept me awake. You've done that. Well, this is what the king is doing. He can't remember, so it's just like, you tell me. You guys are supposed to be smart guys. You guys are supposed to be in touch with the gods and all this. He has this reoccurring dream. He doesn't know what it's about, but he does know it is about the future, which brings up an interesting point, particularly in the world in which you and I find ourselves living today. More and more, as I see things on television and whatever, one thing I think all of us want at some time or another is we'd like to be able to see into the future. You know, you wonder about how long you're going to live. Maybe you don't want to know how you're going to exit this life, but you kind of want to know how long you're going to live. We want to know a lot of things. What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next month? What's going to happen next year? At least we think we want to know. Here's the truth. If you get out your life point outline, this is the first thing I want to show you. God doesn't want me and you to control our future. He wants me to trust my future to Him. That's what God is saying. And that's the reason why we want to know a lot of things about our future that we can't know. And we may ask God to help us see and to know something, and God doesn't do it. The reason is because God says, I'm not wanting you to know about the future. I'm wanting you to trust me with the future. And here's something you can know. Whenever you're around somebody who is a high control person, you ever been around somebody who's high control? I mean, it's like they just want to kind of write the script for your day. They want to write your script for how you're going to do this, that, and the other. Here's the thing you can always understand. Somebody who is a high control person is high control because they are highly insecure. And the reason they want to control you, the reason they want to control this situation is because it makes them feel safer when they've kind of got their hand on everything. And the more insecure I am, the more controlling I'm going to try to be of you if you're in my frame of reference. I'm going to seek to control you and life around me. Why? Because I'm insecure and I'm unstable. And when you understand that, then you know how to respond to somebody and how to minister to them. Well, these advisors of the king, what were they? They were magicians. They were mediums. They were necromancers. They were sorcerers. They were astrologers. This was Babylonian culture. This is the kind of program that Daniel and his three friends and all the others were put into to be trained in the ways of the Babylonians. They were basically taught how to be astrologers and mediums and psychics and all of that. That was the program of training. That's who the king had around him. And these guys are supposed to be able to look into the future. They were supposed to be able to help him to know whether or not he should go to war or he shouldn't go to war. And these are the guys that are around him, and it was all a bunch of crazy and loony stuff. It's interesting, though, that even today in America, we have these kind of people. Isn't it? You've seen it all the time. And so let me just give you something in your word. This is just good for us to just camp on this just a little bit. If you look, let me give you an insight. God's word on predicting the future. Just kind of open up your eyes about God and His perspective on this whole thing about mediums and psychics and palm readers and fortune tellers, you know, and all that and everything. All right? The first thing, God wants us to know three things. Number one, only God knows the future. I'm going to give you chapter and verse on this. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 7 in the contemporary English version says, no one human can tell the future, period. No one human can tell the future. It's not going to happen. That's God's word on it. Then Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 14 says, listen, fools claim to know the future, and they love to tell anybody who listens, but no one knows what's going to happen. Nobody. You waste your money going to fortune tellers, palm readers, tarot card, all that kind of mess. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Don't forget the many times, God says, I clearly told you what was going to happen in the future. For I am God, I only can tell you what's going to happen. So God is just kind of saying all over again. He's saying, there's only one who knows the future. Satan does not know what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't know what's going to happen in this next hour. Satan doesn't know that. The only one who knows the future is who? God. That's it. There's nobody else. You're wasting your money when you go to somebody else. And it's going to cause other problems in your life as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. Jesus said, God will give to you, when you're worried about the future, he says, God will give to you if you give him first place in your life and you live as he wants you. So there's the caveat. If I listen to God, if I put him first in my life, if I seek him, my time, my talent, my treasure, if I am seeking God, he is first in my life, and I live like he wants me to live, God says, I will give to you. I will take care of you. Who doesn't want that? God said, I will give to you. I will provide for you if you put me first. He says, so don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Just live for today. Doesn't mean you don't plan. Doesn't mean you don't put back for retirement. God just simply says, don't worry about next month, next week, next year. I'm going to take care of all that. All you got to be concerned with is just doing what I want you to do right now. So God wants me to trust him, and he'll take care of whatever tomorrow brings. That's good news, isn't it? All right, number two, fortune tellers, psychics, and psychics are fraud. Period. They're frauds. No exclusions. Listen, God says psychics, fortune tellers, astrologers, and mediums. There's a medium. I've just seen one come out as a young man who is a medium on TV. And he's like, you know, he tells people, and if you watch him, he just kind of leads them along. I mean, basically, it's a guessing game. And he just learns how to ask good questions, you know, and it's just like putting a ring in somebody's nose and just leading them right along. It is a trickery of the devil. He does not know what the future is. He is not, let me tell you something, a medium is a tool of Satan to confuse and deceive people. And here's the thing that God says. There is nobody who can talk to a dead person. You cannot do it. It doesn't happen, biblically speaking. You say, well, they're talking to somebody, aren't they? Yes, they are. But it's not a dead person. It's the devil. It's Satan and one of his familiar demons. But I'll get to that. Isaiah 44, verse 25, God says, I make fools of psychics and fortune tellers. I frustrate the predictions of astrologers. Their wisdom is foolishness. So stop looking in the paper at your graft. If you do it, I don't even want to know, but just stop it, because it's just a bunch of stupidness. Leviticus 19:31. Do not rely on mediums and psychics, for you will be defiled by them. I, the Lord, am your God. So God said, do not seek a fortune teller. Do not call a psychic on the psychic hotline. You know, and the funny thing is, so you say, you know, before I can do this, I need your credit card number. Somebody else say, well, you're a psychic. Tell me what it is. You know, and then if you had heard the psychic hotlines and the psychic groups and everything went out of business, and their deal was, when they posted, they said, due to unforeseen circumstances. You know, you're like, I thought that wasn't supposed to happen to y'all. You know, you're supposed to know all that. It's just funny. No human being can talk to the dead. Mediums contact familiar spirits or demons who know the lives of the people who died. That's what's taking place. It is a demonic thing. You're in league with Satan. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the Lord says, I am against anyone who goes to mediums or fortune tellers for advice instead of me. In other words, God says, when you go to a medium, when you go to a fortune teller, when you go to a palm reader, you're not going to God, you're going to Satan. And God says, it really angers him when we do that. It is a dishonor to him. So if you're dabbling in tea leaves, Ouija boards, palm reading, horoscopes, stop it. God hates it, and stuff's going to happen in your life that will not be good because it stirs God up. The third thing God wants us to know is God's prophets are always accurate. The prophecies of God, when they are of God, are always accurate. In other words, the prophecies that are in the Word, here's how you know if somebody is who claims to be speaking in the name of God. Here's how you know. There are two ways that you know if what they're telling you is the truth. If it is from God, 100% of the time, it will be 100% correct. Not 90%, not 98.4%. 100% of the time, if it's from God, it'll happen. Just like he says. Why? Because God's the only one who can do stuff like that. And so what I'm saying is the way you know it's from God is 100% of the time, 100% of it will happen. And the second thing is the Bible will back it up. Nothing's going to happen from God. There's all kinds of weird stuff going on in the world. Listen, whatever weird stuff starts happening, people say, this is God. I go straight to Scripture. Is there anything in Scripture that shows me that it is backing it up or is telling me I need to stay away from that? Because the Bible is our guide for everything. God says everything you're going to need to know in your 70-plus year journey on this planet, you're going to find it in the book. Amen. God said, I will take care of you. I'll lead you in that. Isaiah 8, verse 20, check their predictions against my word, says the Lord. If their predictions are different from mine, it is because there is no light or truth in them. So there's that. All right. Now, I just wanted you to understand that. It was there. It presented itself. That was a rabbit I had to chase and shoot. And so what Scripture is saying is, let's go back to the palace, all right? The king can't sleep. I mean, it's when you're the number one king on the planet, can you imagine the pressure and the thought of, you know, what's going to happen? Is somebody going to try to get me? He's got all these kind of problems that are there and dealing with all these people. And so all this pressure is on him, right? We understand that. When you've got a growing business, when you've got a large family, there is pressure that is on your life. Would you agree with that? Amen. This is where you respond. Amen. Okay, well, here's the deal. Here's the truth I want you to see. When the weight of our days creates fitful sleep, God is calling. I just want you to think about that. When you can't sleep, that is God ringing your phone. And God is saying, you and I need to talk. His counselors are frustrated, and he's frustrated because they can't tell him his dream. And so the king gives orders, I want everybody killed. I want everybody. Daniel, friends, everybody's going to be killed. And so when Daniel finds out about this, he winds up, he goes and he prays to God. He stays before the Lord. God interprets the dream, tells him everything about it, and then Daniel goes in and saves the day. But here's the thing. In the rest of the message, here's what I want to do. I'm going to give it to you as fast as I can. But the point is, Daniel learned certain things when he was in an impossible situation. I mean, telling somebody what they dreamed, and they can't even tell you what they dreamed. That is an impossible situation. We have impossible situations that happen in our life. And God will let us go through an impossible situation to see what we're going to do, because that's going to determine whether or not he's going to promote us and give us a bigger platform. So what are some things? What did Daniel do that we need to do? You ready for this? All right, number one, stay calm. Stay calm. Verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Now, the most powerful man on the planet has ordered your execution, which I suppose would have been by, decapitation. And the amazing thing, you've got now, this is 2 years later. 2 years has passed. Daniel is 17 years old. And the remarkable thing is, he doesn't panic. He's not like, what am I going to do? Like, you know that the king has ordered your death. And so here's what I want you to think about this morning. I have no idea what's going on in your life. I know that Catherine and I, we have our life at times. Stuff just happens. Stuff just takes place. And 1 week you're feeling under tremendous pressure, the next week that you're not. God is looking to see how you and I respond. And so the question I want to put to you this morning is this. Are you panicked this morning about something? Are you panicked? Maybe it's over a job promotion, or it's over an opportunity, or maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your health, it's your marriage, it's a life dream that maybe just feels like it's growing wings and flying away. The first thing, if I want to get an answer to an impossible situation, the first thing the Bible teaches me is do not panic. So it's like you just take a deep breath and calm down. That's worth the price of admission right there, isn't it?
Amen.
You know? You could have not taken that ibuprofen this morning. All right, number two, seek answers. In other words, what Daniel wanted to know is, why is this happening? And that's the very thing. When I'm facing an impossible situation, something's very difficult, what I want to know is, why is this happening? What is it that birthed this? Why was I asked by, if you are you're hired somewhere, why is your boss asking you to do something and he or she knows the difficulty level of it? They know that it's hard. They know that it's going to require tons and tons of work, and it's going to stretch you to the nth degree. Why are they asking that of you? Why are they expecting you to do what you perceive on your end is an impossible situation that you have gotten yourself into? Look at verse 15 in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel asked Arioch, "Why has the king issued such a harsh decree?" And Arioch told him all that had happened. And so, in other words, Daniel seemed to say, I just need to understand, why is this happening? Why is my life in jeopardy? Why did this happen? Because until I know why something is happening, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do. So here's the insight. The king was furious because of fear. And you see, that's important to know. That you understand the king is doing what he's doing because he is afraid. And that's how you begin to handle a life situation, a life problem. You get all the facts as you can. I like Proverbs 23:23. In the scripture it says, get the truth and don't sell it. That's in the New Living Translation. Another version says, get the facts at any price. In other words, you do what you need to do to find out why in the world is this happening to me. Daniel needed to understand what prompted such a harsh order for the king. Why did he do something like that? And so here's what God is wanting us to understand. A lot of times when we're feeling pressure, we just do something impromptu. Listen, that is a horrible mistake. When something rash has happened, when something like impossible is in front of us, the last thing you want to do is make a snap decision. Don't make a major, write this down, don't make a major life decision on emotion or how you feel. You say, well, I just feel like God wants me to do this. You need to be very careful about that. I know that sounds spiritual on a whole bunch of different levels, but that does not mean God's leading you to do that. That just mean the way that you feel. And just because I got a quiver in my liver doesn't mean that God's the one that's doing that. I could be doing that myself. It could be something I ate, could be whatever. And so the thing is, a lot of times feelings lie. How I feel is not as important as what the truth is. And so then number three, you want to get all the facts as you can at any price, and then you ask for breathing room. In other words, in verse 16, it says, Daniel went at once to see the king. He requested more time so he could tell the king what the dream meant. And so when you are under pressure, when somebody's asked you to do an impossible thing, when there's an impossible situation in front of you, the first thing that you need to do, one of the things you need to do, is you need time to think. It's not about just making a snap decision. It is about I need to be careful, because my greatest temptation, because I'm under pressure, is to react impulsively. And it is more important that I make the right decision than that I make a quick decision. Because the wrong decision is the wrong decision, whether it's made quickly or over a long period of time. It's just wrong. And so I want to make the best decision, and I want to make the right decision. So just take a little bit of time and stand back and just kind of look at that. Get all the information that you can. Ask for breathing room, because what you're doing is you need some time to get alone with God. When you're in an impossible situation, when work looks like it may be going south, when you're facing a health issue or whatever, you've got decisions that need to be made. Who are we going to see? What doctor are we going to proceed? Are we going to stay here? Are we going to go local? Are we going to go to Tyler? Are we going to go to Houston? You've got all these issues that got to happen. You need to be still. It doesn't matter if Aunt Sue, Uncle Bob, and cousin so-and-so, they had something like this, and this is what they did. That doesn't matter. What matters is, God, what do you want me to do? I want to be led by you. I need you to show me. Daniel knew he needed to get with God. And so the first thing he did was he went to the king. Why? Because the king is the only one who could give him some time. So what did he do? He went to the source of his problem. Fearful as it was to go there, Daniel went to the king because that's where the problem was. And he needed to get to the king so he could have time with God. So here's the insight. The quickest way out of impossible, out of your impossible, is to go to the source. And so here's something. What is it that you need to do that you haven't done because you keep putting it off because it scares you? What do you need to do that you haven't done because you keep putting it off because it scares you? What are you pretending maybe in your marriage is not a problem? And you won't talk to your husband about it. You won't talk to your wife about it. And you're just pretending that it's not there. You know it's there, but you don't want to deal with it. You want to sweep it under the rug. There's a lot of us that have got some big lumps under our rugs. Because we keep sweeping it under the rug. Rather than just having this conversation. So the point is, what conversation do you need to have, but you have been putting it off because of fear? You're afraid. Here's the truth in your outline. Procrastination never solves a problem. Delay can make everything worse. Somebody says, well, time heals everything. No, it doesn't. And when you're dealing with cancer, time doesn't heal. Time can turn that into a deadly issue. Would you agree with that? You can't just wait and not do anything. It can become absolutely life-threatening. So here's the challenge. Move against your fear and you'll conquer it. That's worth the price of admission this morning. That God is saying, is there a conversation you need to have? Husband, wife, you know, doctor, friend, pastor, whoever. You need to have that conversation and you're afraid. That's what Daniel did. He went to the king. He said, I need some time because I need to talk to God about the situation. He was very upfront about it. All right, then number four, get friends praying. Verse 17 says, then Daniel went home and told his friends. Now, I had never seen this before. Daniel went home and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They did not have a cell phone. But Daniel goes home. Daniel went where? Home. And who did he talk to at home? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Must have been an apartment or a big house with apartment, with bedrooms. All the guys were bunking together. They were all right there in the house. I had never seen that before. And he urged them, he goes back to them, he tells the situation, he urges them to ask the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret. And I said, I don't know if he'll tell me, maybe he'll tell you, so they would not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. Here's the truth I want you to see. A God-blessed life cannot exist without prayer, and prayer partners increase the blessing. You see, that is one of the reasons when you have a crisis, an impossible situation, you know, the question you got to ask yourself is, who are you going to call? Who are you going to call when you are having a life problem, an impossible situation, a dark day, when you get that phone call that all of us get that changes our life forever? Who are you going to call? You don't want to go through that all by yourself, do we? We don't want to go through it all by ourselves. You want somebody to call. Who are the five or six friends you are close enough that this afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, you could call them and say, listen, I'm going through a tough time. I don't know. I have an impossible situation. I need you to be praying for me to know what I'm supposed to do. I need God's help. That's the reason why we keep telling you, I keep telling you week in and week out, you need to be in a life group. You need to be in a group of people where there's 8, 10, or 12 people who know you on a first-name basis. You don't need 25 people praying for you, but you need 4, 5, 6 people. Every woman needs 4 or 5 women. Every guy needs 4 or 5 men who can pray for them for anything that's going on in their life. And so Daniel goes home. He tells his 3 friends, he said, listen, you guys need to start praying. We are in a pickle. This thing is really, really real. It could go south on us really, really bad. And so the interesting thing is this. When he went to them, he said, we need God's help so we can tell the king what he prayed so that we don't die and all the others as well. The necromancers, the palm readers, the fortune tellers, and all that. Do you know what that says to me in our present day? What God is saying is, one of the marks of a godly life, and this is what the world's looking to see, one of the marks of a godly life is that you and I don't only pray for other brothers and sisters in the Lord, we also pray for those men and women we don't agree with. We pray for those people whose lifestyle is antithetical to what we believe is the way to live. But you see, the mark that we're godly is that we're not throwing rocks at them, we're praying for them, right? I mean, that's what Daniel did. And that's just God's help to us. And then number 5, lastly, expect God to help. When I have an impossible situation, I go to my friends and ask them to help me. I need to expect God to help. When I walk up these steps on a given Sunday morning, the majority of the time, I don't just have the Holy Spirit flowing all over me that I just know that I know, man, God is going to show up. He's going to be right here. What God expects out of me is, you see, God, there are times that God is like that. There are times that it's just like I'm like, you know, Lord is with me. He's on my right, my left. He's leading me. He's taking up my rear guard. God is here. He is with me. I love those times. But God says, you will never grow if that's what you have all the time. Because what I'm after is I want you to trust me. I want you to show that you trust me and you believe in me, unlike Adam and Eve did in the garden. So it's all about that. Do I trust him? Do I take him at his word? God's very keen on that, and that's going to happen all through your life. And so when I walk up these steps on a given Sunday morning, let me tell you what I'm saying to myself. I'll let you in. One of the things I'm saying is, Father, I have studied, and I have sought your faith. I've done everything I can do to get ready for this hour. And so I've worked like it all depends on me. But when I pray, I take my shoes off, I get down on my face before God, because in my mind, I know the truth is, it all depends on him. But if all I do is pray, and I don't prepare, you know, you heard those guys say, well, I just believe you get up there and open your mouth and God will fill it. Mm-hmm. Hot air, right? And that's why those guys preach to basically empty chairs, and I'm not trying to be ugly. You understand what I'm saying? You have to prepare. Stacy has to prepare. He has to put in time. We have to prepare. And so you do it like it all depends on you, but you pray like it all depends on God. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, God, I need your help. It's not my logic. It's not my wisdom. It's not my talent. God, I need you, because if you don't show up, this is not going to work. And that's why God wrote in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, and I'll show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. God, Daniel needed God to show him what he could never figure out in 1,000 years, what the king dreamed. It's an impossible situation. How is he going to figure out what the king dreamed? It's impossible. So here's the truth in your outline. God never shuts his storehouse till we shut our mouths. God said, I can take care. I can provide whatever you need. And the last truth is, prayer without expectation of an answer is dead on arrival. When you ask of him, James wrote in James chapter 1, be sure that you expect him to answer, because a doubtful mind should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. God, it doesn't matter what I feel, I believe you're going to answer. Now listen, Daniel prayed all night because he needed God's help. And maybe this morning you need a job. You need a better job. Maybe you really need an answer to your problem. You want direction for your life. You want direction for your children. You don't know how to counsel them. You need help with your marriage. You need a raise at work. You seriously need a raise. If God hasn't answered your prayer yet, remember Daniel prayed all night and to get his answer. So the question is, have you ever prayed all night because you really, really wanted it? The point I'm wanting to make is that God is willing to answer our prayer if we'll come to him and we do it like Daniel did. This is the pathway. This is what we do. So let me show you right quickly in your outline. God shows us how to pray. When you pray, how do you pray? Number one, you exalt him for who he is. You look at Daniel 2, verse 19 through 23. That's Daniel's prayer. And he exalted God for who he was. He said, God, you're kind, you're gracious, you're powerful, you're faithful. Just think of all those superlatives you can think about God. Number two, he exalted God for what he does in his life, in the past, and in the world. He just goes through the litany. God, Lord, these are the great things that you have done. And he's talking about, what you've done for me, how you've blessed, how you've taken care of me. And lastly, exalt him for his help in your life. Lord, my life needs you, and I want you more than I want anything else. My eyes are on you, and you are my help. We're going to just close this morning. I want to ask you to bow your heads for just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one's looking around.